You ever have that word spoken to you just at the right time? I didn't get that tonight. Mike W. came up to me and said, "Are you okay?" I was like, "I'm just pretty tired." And I am tired. We were in Bozeman for Spiritual Warriors Weekend, and I stayed at the building with the young guys that were there. Mr. Bisco was going to be there, and I didn't know if there was any other guys staying. I didn't want him to have to do it by himself his first year. And I'll tell you that there was probably about 15 of us guys in a room. And, man, boys' feet stink. I just tell you, before it was bedtime, that room stunk. Like, I got up Saturday morning and I walked out of the room and they were cooking breakfast out there. I have never been happier to smell bacon in my entire life. I thanked them very much. And yeah, it was great. Last time I exhorted you guys out of 1 Timothy chapter 6, I told you that I was going to talk about money the next time I was up here. And we are going to talk a little bit about that tonight. But I do need to tell you a quick little story about that as well. Recently, I've discovered that I look like Mr. Wilson. And, with a hat on, we look a lot alike, evidently. Because I went to the gas station, I had to prepay, and I went and I paid, and we had a little dialogue on who was going to get the change back. Me and the cashier did. And I went out and pumped gas. In the meantime, Luke went in, and he came up there, and by the time I got there, they had given Luke my change. After we had talked to that guy about how he wasn't going to keep my change, and so I guess that was license for him to give it to someone that looked sort of like me. So we are going to talk about money tonight a little bit, kind of a little higher level than right down on it, but let's jump in here. 1 Timothy chapter 6, beginning in verse 6. "But godliness actually is a means of great gain when accompanied by contentment. For we have brought nothing into the world, so we cannot take anything out of it either. And if we have food and covering, with these we shall be content." Let's pray. Our great, awesome Heavenly Father, Lord, we are so thankful that You are our God. Lord, that You saw fit to give us Your Son, to not hold Him back, but that His blood was shed for us. Lord, that is the only way that we could have restored fellowship with You. And we are so appreciative for that. Lord, as we continue to go through the letter to Timothy, penned by the Apostle Paul, inspired by the Holy Spirit, tonight we're going to talk about some things that have to deal with just some base level worldview on how we see things and how that affects us. Lord, I pray that You'll help me to be clear and concise. Lord, that I can educate and instruct, edify and encourage Your body here in Billings. In the name of Christ Jesus, our King, our Head, we pray. Amen. Contentment. And I am very tired. Actually, Larry mentioned something in his Lord's Supper that reminded me of Scripture that I didn't have in my lesson. Wow, it was... Yeah. So, I'm going to ask you guys on the front side, bear with me tonight. Content. That means to be satisfied with what you have. Content. We live in a world where seemingly no one is content. I mean, you just look around and man, it is a rat race and the prize is stuff. That's what everyone pursues. At least that's what it seems. I work at an underground coal mine, and the wages that are paid there are probably generally higher than a lot of other industries are. I know the people on our payroll fairly well, and well over 50% of our employees have wage garnishments of one kind or another. Let's just say there's probably a lot of pickup trucks in the parking lot that the guys can't afford. And before hunting season, there's a rash of four-wheelers that show up. You know, just people pursue stuff. They want stuff more than anything, it seems. And the problem is they don't have any contentment in what they have. Brothers and sisters, the responsibility we have is to make sure that same attitude doesn't permeate the church. I'm going to bring some things out tonight. Godliness is means of great gain when it is accompanied by contentment. That's almost like a qualifying statement put in there, or a statement that explains how godliness is great gain when it's accompanied by contentment. Just in your mind, think about the life of Christ on this earth. 33 years He was on this earth. The last three and a half years of His life was His ministry. And you didn't find Jesus at His home address in the estate located up on the hill. You found Him down on a shore or a mountain or at somebody's house or things like that. And in fact, we're going to read a little bit later that one of the statements that Jesus has said, He says, "The birds have nests, the fox has holes, but the Son of Man has no place to lay His head." See, there was something else that was important to Him. And because of what was important to Him, there was some contentment that came in other areas. So let's take a look at Hebrews chapter 13. We'll start there and we'll kind of move around through the scriptures a little bit. Hebrews 13. We're going to read verses 5 and 6. "Let your character be free from the love of money, being content with what you have. For He Himself has said, 'I will never desert you, nor will I ever forsake you.' So that we confidently say, 'The Lord is my helper, I will not be afraid. What shall man do to me?'" I'm going to deal with this character being free from the love of money next time I preach. But this time I want to focus in on being content with what you have. See, you know, I talk about man, the pursuit of stuff. See, one of the things man does is, you know, let's say he's a responsible kind of guy. So he starts taking a look at some things and he realizes that it takes X amount of dollars to operate his household. And that's a minimum. Now, I'm talking about a responsible guy. A lot of guys don't even consider that. They just go out there and then they have to have X amount of dollars to support those things. But this guy, he's a planner and he looks out there a little bit. And so he starts figuring out, hey, I'm only going to be able to do this labor job I have for so long. And so he figures out how much he needs to put aside. And then, you know, he starts doing some things. And pretty soon, his security is that money and that stuff. That's what he counts on. That's what he relies on. Now, I don't want you to misunderstand what I'm saying. There is nothing wrong with planning ahead. What's wrong is if that becomes what he trusts in rather than trusting in the Lord. You know, we just read that there. You know, basically, if God is for us, who is against us? What is man able to do to us? Contentment. Guys, this is something that in our society and the way it is structured today, we have to be on guard for those things. You know, it is easy to want what other people have because you see it everywhere you go. You know, if we grew up in a different time, in a different land, you know, some of those things wouldn't be as visible to us. In America, it's visible. We can see it everywhere. You know, the little town of Billings, Montana, I would venture a guess that if you went to the local high schools, that you would find $40,000 and $50,000 cars in the parking lots that the students drive. In Billings, Montana. BMWs and Lexuses and things like that. Again, man, he starts to put his security and trust in those things. He starts to build his own little kingdom. That's where there's a problem. It can get to be something that consumes him and takes his whole, everything is chasing that next dollar. Everything is chasing that little bit more of security that he feels from having that. Again, I'm not advocating irresponsibility. Please don't misunderstand what I'm saying. I think you should plan ahead. I think you should have some things set aside, and I can demonstrate that from the Scripture. What I'm saying is, that is not where your security lies. Let's go to Luke chapter 12. I'll give you an example of this from the Scripture. Luke 12 and verse 16. He told them a parable, saying, "The land of a certain rich man was very productive. And he began reasoning to himself, saying, 'What shall I do, since I have no place to store my crops?' And he said, 'This is what I'll do. I will tear down my barns and build larger ones. And there I will store all my grain and my goods. And I will say to my soul, Soul, you have many goods laid up for many years to come. Take your ease, eat, drink, and be merry.' But God said to him, 'You fool, this very night your soul is required of you, and now who will own what you have prepared? So is the man who lays up treasures for himself and is not rich toward God.'" Guy's got some good land, makes a lot of crops. It's all about him, isn't it? Going to live the life of ease. Anybody know what happened in Bolivia in 1987? 1987 in Bolivia, they replaced one currency with another and effectively took six zeros of value out overnight. So you went to bed with $1 million, you woke up with the equivalent value of a dollar. 1987. At least that's the information I found on the internet. So I should put that disclaimer on. I found a few different sources. You don't know what that money is going to be worth tomorrow. Young guy like Mr. Hopper, he's seen the value of the dollar decrease a lot in his life. A lot. When I was in high school, I remember paying 85 cents a gallon for gasoline. That wasn't that long ago. That was 20 years ago. I didn't buy much bread or milk back then, so I can't give you that number, but those things just showed up. But I would guess that they're a lot more expensive today. I can tell you that you bought a pickup 25 years ago and a pickup today, there's a huge difference in the price of that. Guys, if our concern is riches in this life, you're going to be left empty. Even if you're like this guy in the parable and you die on top, somebody else gets everything you got. You know, there's an old joke about, you know, the guy dies and, you know, he's allowed to take something with him to heaven. Man, this guy, he had stored up a lot of gold in his life. And, man, he packs all that gold up in a suitcase and he gets up to heaven. And Peter asks him what's in the suitcase and he tells him it's gold. And Peter's like, "Why would you bring pavement? You know, a street of gold, you know. Sorry, I'm tired." Okay. But, hey, guys, that is not where our security lies, is it? It's not at all. You know, we've talked about this many times, man. The security of the United States of America. You know what? If the Lord tarries, the United States of America will fall. Every nation in history has. It just will. When? Who knows? But it will. Don't put your value on those things. Now, there's a lot of people in this land. Man, they think that because they're Americans, they have nothing to worry about. I wonder if some other people in history had that same thought. Man, I remember a story in the Bible. This big party going on, a finger writes on the wall. Guys slipping in, a little takeover that night. Hey, don't put your hope and your trust in those things. And again, we're talking about contentment here. I want that to be the baseline. Keep that in your mind as we're talking about this. This pursuit of stuff, if contentment, if you're content with what you have, guess what? That stuff doesn't have the value to you. That's what we have to guard ourselves against. Again, it's easy in this time because it's everywhere you see it. I like the story, you know. We talk about we're Americans and we're free. And we got a home mortgage, 2 car payments, and a boat payment. Yeah, that's not free. That guy standing out in front of Walmart with a sign that says that he's broke, he's actually free. He may not have anything, but he doesn't owe anything. He's even. You know, you go to average American, they're a long ways from even, aren't they? If the debt got called in, guess what? You'd be sharing the corner with the guy at Walmart with your sign up. We need to learn to be content in those things. Again, where do we place our value? Go back to our text in 1 Timothy. First Timothy 6, verse 8. And if we have food and covering, with these we shall be content. I think that the problem is that we're used to getting what we want. Our concern is the pursuit of our wishes, rather than the concern about getting what we need. Two different things. What do we need? Winter's coming. It's here. Well, covering is necessary, isn't it? We have to breathe. We have to have water. We have to have food. Those are basic needs. Otherwise, at some point, life ceases. Well, we got to learn to be content in some things. Well, I'm going to step on some toes, and mine are included here. Guys, high-speed internet is not a necessity. Well, running water isn't a necessity. It wasn't very many generations ago. It didn't just come into the house like it does today. Electricity is not a necessity. Are they nice? Sure. I'm thankful for all those things. I spent a night with 12 and 14 year old boys with smelly feet. I'm thankful for water and electricity. Well, I am. But they're not a necessity. I have heated seats in my vehicles and I like them. I do. Winter's coming. I like them. They're not a necessity. I told you I'm going to preach at me too. Contentment. Do we pursue what we want or what we need? That's a question that each of us gets to answer individually for ourselves. So, I guess in some ways I've put myself up here. So if you need to judge me for my heated seats, you can. But don't judge anybody else out here, okay? You evaluate these things for yourself. Wants, necessities. If it came time, things got tough in America, in Billings, where we live, and you had to make a choice. And that choice was to tithe or to pay Bresnan, Dish Network, DirecTV, Verizon. What are you going to do? It's funny, and I'm there too. I believe that I need a cell phone. When I paid 90 cents a gallon for gasoline, you know what I didn't have? A cell phone. You know what I had? A quarter. You know, my mom made one be in my wallet. Probably got replaced a few times. I'm not sure if she knew that. But, you know, hey, make a phone call. Quarter. Guys, what I'm saying is these things aren't wrong. But think about contentment with what we have. Think about the difference between needs and wants. Let's go to Ecclesiastes chapter 5. Ecclesiastes chapter 5, verse 10. He who loves money will not be satisfied with money, nor he who loves abundance with its income. This too is vanity. When good things increase, those who consume them increase. So what is the advantage to their owners except to look on? The sleep of a working man is pleasant, whether he eats little or much. But the full stomach of the rich man does not allow him to sleep. Man, I'll tell you, those are true statements. Hey, things go good, make a little more money, guess what? It's like you didn't make any more money. It just goes somewhere, you know? You know, the more you make, guess what? It gets consumed. You know? I mean, honestly, Uncle Sam's pretty deep in all of our pockets. I know that that's where a lot of that goes. I'm aware of that. But guess what? And you can accumulate all these things. There's other verses in Ecclesiastes that talk about, kind of echo a little bit of what we read there in Luke. Man, you can accumulate all these things. You know what's going to happen to them? They're going to go to somebody else that didn't work for them, and they're not going to place the proper value on it anyway. They don't understand the hard work went into it, and it's going to get squandered, most likely. What are we doing? Contentment that needs to be there. I like that. The sleep of the working man is pleasant. Man, I'll tell you what, you go out there and you put in an honest, hard day's work, you put in some other stuff, you know what you do when you get in bed at night? Out. I told those boys, you know, we had a curfew of midnight when they were going to be in there, and we were a little soft on that. I just had one rule. I said, the lights go out, your mouths go closed. And then I followed it up with this statement, and I snore, so if I were you, I'd all fall asleep before me. They all complained about how bad I snore. I never heard it once because I was asleep. I was tired. You know, you get up at 5 o'clock in the morning and you do some things and leave the house and go to work all day, and then you drive to Bozeman and you get there and, man, there's young people and they need your attention, and you get a little extra fired up to give them that attention and things like that. Man, my head hit the pillow. I was sleeping on a little cot. My wife got me a little pad that goes on there. It wasn't the most comfortable thing, but it was enough. I was out. The sleep of a working man. They say that, I believe it was old man Rockefeller, that before he died, for many years before he died, he couldn't enjoy a single meal because his whole life he pursued that dollar and that money so much it ate him up from the inside. I've never researched that. I've heard it enough times that I'll go with it. Matthew chapter 6. Verse 25. I'm going to read this section at the end of the chapter here. Matthew 6, 25 through 34. For this reason I say to you, do not be anxious for your life as to what you shall eat or what you shall drink, nor for your body as to what you shall put on. Is not life more than food, and the body than clothing? Look at the birds of the air. They do not sow, neither do they reap, nor gather into barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not worth much more than they? And which of you, by being anxious, can add a single cubit to his lifespan? And why are you anxious about clothing? Observe how the lilies of the field grow. They do not toil, nor do they spin. Yet I say to you that even Solomon in all of his glory did not clothe himself like one of these. But if God so raised the grass of the field, which is alive today and tomorrow is thrown into the furnace, will he not much more do so for you, O men of little faith? Do not be anxious then, saying, what shall we eat? Or what shall we drink? Or with what shall we clothe ourselves? For all these things the Gentiles eagerly seek. For your heavenly Father knows that you need all these things. But seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you. Therefore, do not be anxious for tomorrow, for tomorrow will take care of itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own. It's an interesting thing. When I read that, I can't tell you how many times I've read that passage of Scripture. Interesting thing tonight when I was preparing this. For all these things the Gentiles eagerly seek. Man, that just jumped out at me when I was putting that together. Man, that's what it's about, isn't it? Out there in the world, man. Stuff for me. Make me feel good. Make me look good. Make me comfortable. That's what the Gentiles eagerly seek. Last time I checked, according to the Scripture, being a Gentile was bad. Their end is bad. Now, they become obedient to the Scripture, then they become a Jew inwardly, and life is good. Those are things that Gentiles eagerly seek. Man, that was a little tough for me when I read that, honestly. You know, I got a family. I think about making sure they have those things. Boy, sometimes do we need a little lesson on being content? The want and the need, separating those things out. I look around this room and I know some of you fairly well. Been in different people's homes. There's some guys in here that I think have this thing figured out. I do. I've seen some guys that know how to be content with very little. Have a great attitude, and you know what? Share with other people. Great examples. Again, I'm preaching to myself tonight. If we're going to recognize that godliness is means of great gain when it's accompanied by contentment, it's not about us, is it? It's about Christ Jesus and His body, His kingdom. Let's go to Philippians chapter 4. Philippians 4, verse 11. Apostle Paul again speaking to Timothy, inspired by the Holy Spirit. Not that I speak from want, for I have learned to be content in whatever circumstances I am. I know how to get along with humble means, and I also know how to live in prosperity. In any and every circumstance, I have learned the secret of being filled and going hungry, both of having abundance and suffering need. I can do all things through Him who strengthens me. Content. Hey, right now we live in the green tree. Be content with what you have in the green tree. Brown tree's coming. Be content in the brown tree. Be content with what you have. Huh? I carpool with a guy, and we talk quite a bit back and forth to work. Got 32 miles one way each day, and it's kind of funny, you know. Last year before Christmas, we were talking about Christmas, and he let me know that usually what he gets for Christmas is his dad would get something new, and he would get his dad's old whatever it was for Christmas. And it was kind of funny, you know. I mean, and there's nothing wrong with what his dad had, the old one. It's just the new one came out, and so, you know, he got the benefit of what his dad didn't need anymore. sometimes I think about those things, and are we content? Do we really need that next thing? Maybe the one we have is good enough. That's for each one of us to evaluate. Maybe there's another need that could be met instead of maybe filling that one. Those are things we all have to examine for ourselves. Let's go back to our text. We'll close there. 1 Timothy chapter 6. Verse 7. We kind of skipped over this. We covered 6 and 8. For we have brought nothing into the world, so we can't take anything out of it either. And Ecclesiastes 3:20, you don't have to turn there. It says this: all go to the same place, and all come from the dust, and all return to the dust. You know, that's where that comes from. You know, you go to the gravesite, there's a ashes to ashes, dust to dust kind of thing that goes on there. That's Ecclesiastes 3, verse 20. We have brought nothing into the world, so we can't take anything out of it either. You know, there's a bumper sticker that says, he who dies with the most toys wins. He who dies with the most toys still dies. There is nothing you do physically on this earth that means anything in the scope of eternity. You can accumulate all that wealth, and at the end of it, naked you come, naked you go. We just need to think about those things a little bit, about what's really important. Now, Larry, in his Lord's Supper, talked about the master that entrusted the slaves with some talents, some money. One guy gets two, makes two. One guy gets five, makes five. One guy gets one, does nothing with it. Calls him a wicked and lazy slave. And we got a great gift from Jesus Christ. A great gift. The gift of eternal life. Man, that's the one that we want to give to somebody else. That's the one that has real value to it. It's not about the stuff, guys. It's not. I'm going to talk more about that next time we preach too. There's some other things coming up that I want to tie into that. Man, be content. And me too. Guys, I'll say it again. I'm talking to myself here too. No? It's easy. There's some cool stuff out there. But we have to stop and look about what's important. And think about what we're going to do with that. I would say this. If you're honest, you could ask yourself a question when you're evaluating these things. And is this going to help me do more for God? Or is it going to get in the way of what I need to do for God? I think if you put that little qualifier in there, I think that'll help. Again, guys, I'm not saying that there's not some things that we need. I'm not saying that at all, and I'm not saying that stuff is bad in and of itself. Don't misunderstand. What I'm saying is there's a general attitude that we need to approach things with. Is God able to provide what we need? I believe so. So, be content. Why don't you guys stand with me and we'll close with a word of prayer. Let's pray. Great, awesome Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you so much for your word. Lord, there are some parts that are, as we go through them, that are fun and exciting and easy. There's other parts that challenge us right down to the core of who we are. Lord, I just pray that as we come up with some of those things, that we evaluate them with open and honest hearts. Lord, we know that we have been brought out of the world and into your kingdom. And because of that, our worldview changes. What's important changes. Lord, I just pray that you will help us as we're being conformed into your image. When we come across these things, that if we're doing great, great. If we got an opportunity to improve, that we'll excel still more. Lord, we have an example of Christ Jesus, that everything he did was done out of love, and it was for the benefit of us and for his Father. And Lord, I pray that we will do that same thing, that everything we do will be for the benefit of God our Father and for others. It's in your name we pray. Amen.